All right, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Way back in the back. 2 Timothy. Now, we've been discussing salvation. You say, well, that's simple stuff. Well, yeah, but yeah, no. Salvation is simple. There's no doubt to that, but I mean, you know, the Bible tells us what to do. Romans 10:9 said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so, I mean, it's simple stuff, but it's important to study that for a lot of purposes. And one of them is tonight, because we're going to discuss the assurance of a person's salvation. You ever doubted your salvation? I have. If you've never doubted it, I don't know. There's something wrong. Because I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, at some point in every Christian's life, they're gonna doubt. It's gonna be like, and it may not last long, but Satan bothers you with that. And if you can overcome that, hey, that's good. But some people can't overcome it, and we're going to study about what happens to them. But assurance of salvation is important because Satan will attack us, and that's why it talks about wearing the armor of God, because that protects us from that. And assurance is one place. Satan may try to get you to doubt your salvation. And I've known people that really and truly, they fell back into their ways, back into the world because of the fact that Satan came to them and said, "Hey, who do you think you are? God don't love you. And there's no way he'd save somebody like you." And they get down and they get discouraged and they go back into their old ways of that they were living, and it becomes a real problem. And so the purpose of our study is really that to teach us that by when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're saved now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We're saved now and forever. It's something that we need to know, and we can know for certain. And there's certain scriptures. So what is meant by assurance? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul stated, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Now, question. What makes that verse so important? It's two words in that verse that makes it all important. One is K-N-O-W. That word "no," in other words, it's not a maybe salvation. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, when they believe in their heart without a doubt that Jesus Christ is God, that He was the Son of God, and that He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world, anybody that will ever be born. I got a granddaughter that, praise the Lord, she ain't married yet. But one of these days she'll have a child if she gets married and everything goes as norm. And listen, Christ died for that child's sins, and it ain't even thought of yet. But God knows. And Jesus died for those sins. And what it tells us, the assurance, is that we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're saved. It's not, I talked to a guy, I talked to a young lady too, at the hospital, one of my dad's nurses. "Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. But, I might." And I said, "Well, you know, you can have what I like to call a no-so salvation. you know that it's so. You're going. You know, but too many people today live in that realm of well, I'm hoping I'm doing it right. I'm hoping I'm doing everything. Boy, I sure hope when I get there. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus says, Lord, you know, there's people that say, Lord, Lord, and He's going to say, I never knew you. But see, we don't have to worry about that if we have the no-so salvation. Now, here's the next word that comes into play is persuaded. Listen, I am thoroughly persuaded in my heart and in my mind that you guys are in this room with me in Henderson, Nevada. I can see that. And I'm persuaded of that. And you can have that same persuasion in your heart that you know that you're saved. That way, when the old devil comes along and attacks you, you just laugh it off and say, go on. Leave me alone. You know, you're so stupid. You know, just leave me alone. Listen, and there's a reason why. Now, why do we need assurance of salvation? Somebody tell me, give me one word real quick. What do you need it for? Assurance of your salvation. That's a good one. Peace. Faith. It helps build it. Yeah. Hope. Joy. That's the one I was looking for too. Joy and peace are real important. You see, why does a person need to know that they have the know-so and the persuasion? It's for those purposes. It's for joy. 1 John 1:4 tells us that we can have assurance of salvation brings us joy. Everything may not be peachy. You know, it really may not be. Bless my dad's heart. Tuesday morning. I left there about lunch. And he says, he's kind of slurred speech because they still got him on some pills and stuff for his surgery he had. And I caught terrorists and I caught airports and Holiday and, you know, it said on Fox News, I caught some of that and that we need to be careful traveling. And I said, Dad, I said, boy, you make somebody feel good about going to the airport, getting on a plane. My mom says, she says his name is Charles, and she says, Charles. She said, Charles. And I said, you know, I said, listen, Dad, I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you like I tell other people. I got joy and peace with the Lord that I know and am persuaded that if my plane goes up in the air and some nut blows it out of the sky, hey, outside of a miracle, I'll see you in heaven. You know, I ain't worried about it because I have that. And we need that. We need to know because, listen, those things are real. You know, when I got to the Mobile airport early this morning, it's a small airport, wasn't many people there. Actually, was nobody there. I walked into the airport and I'm like, wow, maybe the rapture happened. I don't know. No, there wasn't a soul in there. And I go back out to my car and I laid the seat back and took a nap out in the parking lot. And you know, but when I got to Houston, I get to the Houston airport, it's like, yeah, it's people going places today. Man, that place was packed. And they got airlines they have a sense of humor. They like to leave late and get you there late. For the other flights, it's going to leave on time. And then they want to give you about 6 football fields to cross with all these linebackers coming at you to get to your gate on time. Plus, I was hungry. So I come across this little spot, and they had these huge sausages, link sausage, and I grabbed one of them real quick. And as I got to the gate where I was going, they were all loading. There was, 5 of us left. And I'm like, thanks for the hour layover. You know, I thought, well, I'd get a little zinked up. It didn't happen. But we have joy. Now, assurance not only brings joy, but it also brings confidence. We have a confidence before God. And we need to have that. How? Well, here, let's go to 1 John. Keep going past Timothy and Peter. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Verse 21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. In other words, it brings us assurance. In verse 19 that it says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before who? God. And in verse 21 he said, if our hearts condemn us not, I ain't worried about Jose condemning me. I really ain't. I like Brother Jose. He's a good guy. But I'm not worried about him condemning. Who I worry about condemning is God. God said we're not condemned. We were condemned already, but when we got saved, now we are not with that condemnation. We don't have to worry about that. And so we can stand before God, which makes it a whole lot easier for me to go to the Lord in prayer in time of need and say, this is what I need. You know, it because of an assurance, I'm His child. See, if I'm praying to God and it's like, well, I don't know if you're going to hear me, but, you know. No, I know He's going to hear me. And He says when I'm in trouble, in time of need, I can come to Him and boldly come to the throne of grace. You know, and talk to Him and say, hey, this is going on. And I have that assurance that He's there and He's listening to me. And not only that, assurance brings us comfort. Comfort's good. I like comfort. Not all planes are comfortable. I rode on one down there in the middle seat. And actually, it ended up being a blessing. But this little lady, she's sitting there. And I come walking down through there when I left Vegas the other day. And I look, and I said, yeah, that's my seat. That's about what I figured. So I got to sit in the middle. So far, ain't nobody sitting, the window seat. Here comes this dude. He's a black man. He's about 6'6". About 280, and really ain't none of it. I mean, he's healthy. You know, he's been exercising, and I'm thinking, no, don't stop here. And he did. I think that's my seat there. How you guys doing anyway? And I said, I almost said, well, I was doing good, I said, we're doing great, man. Give us a minute. We got up. He gets in there and sits down. Well, then, and here I am, and for 3 hours, I'm like, and my neck still got that feeling from it. But come find out, he's a pastor in Houston, and he had been out here on some kind of convention thing. And so that was neat, because we talked, and you know, you can talk to a brother in Christ about things about God, you know, and it's fun, it's enjoyable, and. You know, instead of talking to somebody about it, they're like, well, you know, I don't know. But it was good, you know. So it made my 3 hours quick. But it brings us comfort. Colossians, you can write these down if you don't, instead of going to them all, because I'm going to turn to a few. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. You know what that... You ever do crochet stuff? Philip's going, yeah. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Philip is quite the knitter. I've watched my mom do that, and I can't, period. But it takes it all in, and it weaves it all together. And that's what he's talking about. Actually, that word is the same word that's used when it says Jesus walked up and they were mending their nets. They were actually putting them back together and tying up the holes. And it tells us right here, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It gives us a comfort in our heart. We're knitted together. Listen, we have a bond that people just don't have. I talked to people the whole time I was flying down on the way back, while I was in the airports, while I was at home, and you know, some of them I could talk to. I run across this guy, and I haven't seen this man since probably 1980. Me and him both were pretty young, and well, I was 20. He was probably 22, 23. And I'm walking through the hospital, and the only Starbucks in the entire city of Meridian is in Anderson's, the hospital. And they just opened it. So I'll go down there, and I get me two, what do you call them things, caramel macchiatos. And I got one for me and one for my mom, because my mom don't like coffee, but she likes the flavored stuff. But she didn't like that either. She said, "This is coffee." Anyway, so my dad drank it. I got him a sausage biscuit from Hardee's too, and he ate that because he wouldn't eat what they brought him. He said, "Well, I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't feel like eating." I said, "Well, I know what's wrong with you." I said, "I wouldn't eat it either, you know." And so I go to Hardee's and brought it back. Man, he gobbled that thing up. I was like, "There ain't nothing wrong with your appetite." But anyway, I'm sure the nurses were... Well, actually, one of them asked me, she said, "You're not feeding him all that stuff." I said, "No, I'm not." And I wasn't. I didn't lie. He fed it to him. I just laid it up there. But, you know, so I'm walking along with this coffee, and this guy's coming at me. He's a security guard, and he's coming at me, and I'm like, "Man, I know him. Looks familiar." And I just kept on walking, and he didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing, and I'm like, I turned around, and that did it. This guy had a walk, and I can't even mock it, but he had this walk, he just always had it. And I'm like, there ain't one person in the world I know has ever walked that way. And I turned around, I followed back, I said, "Hey," and called him by name, and he stopped. He turns around, he looks at me, he said, "Do I know you?" I said, "Well, yeah," and I told him, "Oh, man, I ain't seen you," you know. But, you know, and we talked for a little bit, and he's always had a problem with the way I believed in my family. But nonetheless, we discussed some things, and so who knows. But I had that comfort with other people that I didn't have with him. I talked to him a little bit, and then I realized, I'm like, this ain't going to go nowhere. And so we changed the subject to bass fishing, because he likes the bass fish. So we left it off and went on about it, you know. But we don't have that comfort with everybody. Assurance brings us a single-minded stability. James, the book of James, chapter 1, well, verse 8, tells us, don't be double-minded. Let's go over there. James, I think it's James 1:8. We'll find out in a minute. You find Hebrews, keep going, you'll run across the book of James. Yeah, 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, we can have stability of mind because of assurance of salvation. If you have that assurance, you're not wishy-washy. It's not one day I'm going to heaven, one day, well, I might be. One day, no, ain't no way I could go to heaven after what I just did. You know, we can have that assurance, that stability in the Lord when we have the assurance of our salvation through the Lord Jesus. And that is very important for us. Assurance enables us to overcome the world. You know why we can overcome the world? Who's got a quick answer? Ah, there it is. 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5, and we don't have to go there, but Jesus overcame. You see, Jesus died on the cross. He said, it's finished, God said. And Jesus said, he commended his spirit to the Lord, to God. And he said he gave up the ghost. And old Satan was like, woo, it's over. Everything's peachy now. And then Jesus got up 72 hours later, and I believe it was 72 hours later. Therefore, that's why I believe he was, in our way of looking, he was buried Wednesday afternoon. Ah, I got some looks then. Listen, I know Good Friday's not us, okay? That's hogwash. He was buried Wednesday. He had to be off the cross before the high Sabbath, which was on Thursday, not Saturday. They had different Sabbaths. He had to be off that cross, so they took him down. And before 6 o'clock Wednesday evening, because guess what happened at 6 o'clock Wednesday evening? Thursday started in their time. And that's the way they do their days. It goes from 6 to 6 to the, like we do. And he was in the grave. 72 hours. I believe he was there. And 72 hours later, Satan's thinking, oh, what a mess. This is not supposed to happen. But listen, Jesus overcame death and the cross, and that's why we can overcome. This is what Brother Phillips over there, he said, because Jesus overcame already. That's exactly right. Jesus overcome, and if we're a child of God, listen, we can overcome. So it helps us to be able to do the things. Well, do I got to fall for Satan's tactics to get me to sin? Sometimes we do. But we don't have to, because Jesus overcame. We can overcome. When he throws them lures out there and jiggles them around, and you look and it's like, but you can't overcome because Jesus did. And so it's an assurance that we have that we can do that. It enables us. Assurance enables us to effectively serve the Lord by telling others about Jesus. Listen, I've said this before to you. Brother John shows up at my house. I got this hair tonic, and it works miracles. Man, you put it on, and the hair will grow. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he ain't selling me none. Maybe he just likes bald, but that's not the way you sell it. Listen, if we don't have the assurance of what God's promised us, how can we present it to somebody else? I ain't going to tell somebody, well, yeah, this restaurant, oh, yeah, it's good. And the last 5 times I went in there, it was rotten. I don't have any assurance that it was good. No. And I'm not, I had somebody ask me about a restaurant one time. They said, you ever been to that one? I said, well, no. I didn't tell them, well, you know, it's excellent food. I ain't been there and ate it myself. It's excellent food, though. How do I know? No, but when we have that assurance, I can tell somebody about Christ. And I can say, hey, You may have problems in your life. You might have bad situations in your life. You might be in some horrible storms. But guess what? God's in control of it. You know, I was able to tell my dad, well, be careful when his hair is out, and I couldn't understand about half of it, but he was worried about me going to the airports during the holidays, and he said, well, you know how things are, and I said, I ain't got no problem. I said, if it all doesn't turn out real well, I'll see you in heaven. I got that assurance. That assurance assures me that I can tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell them, listen, it ain't going to make everything perfect for you, but it'll give you the comfort you need in time of need. And that's important. It really is. Because, see, my assurance was, when my dad had his surgery, I went in there and had prayer with him. And, well, actually we had prayer there in the room. Then his pastor came in a little while later and had prayer. But I didn't worry about it. They took him back. My mom said, you think he'll be all right? I said, yeah, he'll be fine. I didn't tell her really what I was thinking. I'm like, he's going to be fine. It don't matter whether he comes out of there alive or not. He's going to be fine. You know, but I didn't worry about it because I knew that if the Lord blessed the doctors, by the way, he had a Christian surgeon, which makes it even so much better. But I knew that if he didn't come out of there, if the things didn't go well, that's okay. I'll see him again. You know, and that's an assurance I had. And it's like, okay, I ain't got to worry about it. And that we need. Let's stand, and Philip, if you'd come up and play us a verse.
Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening.